Welcome to Black People Love Paramore, a podcast where we try to make Black people feel seen. Please rate us and write us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. 5 stars only, because we are 5-star bitches. We're Dio Gotti. I'm your host, Sequoia. And today, joining me to talk about Tony Hawk, we have a very special guest. He's a comedic storyteller. He's a Sundance Institute fellow. And his new web series is sponsored by Liz Merriweather from New Girl. Jet G. Jet, do you want to introduce yourself? And thank you so much for coming on.
First of all, thank you for having me on. I mean, I've been trying to come on here a minute. You've been on the CP time having me on here, but you know.
you know Black people live on CP time. Please don't shame me on my podcast.
No, I'm here now. I'm just happy that I'm here. I was literally living with my grandparents earlier this year. Like, yeah, I'm emailing this lady trying to get on her show. Like,
oh, you know what I'm saying? I'm so excited to have you.
No, it's cool. I've been a fan for a minute. It's funny how this came up about. I was writing a pilot in 2021. Some networks were looking at it and as like an alternative view of like Black males, but it's also like, you know, my whole philosophy is that like I think that the industry paints Black men as like these soft marshmallows or like thugs, and there's no in between of like, you know, Negroes can be toxic and also listen to Avril Lavigne. And so like, I wrote a whole pilot about that. And then at the same time, somebody was like, well, like you should just find other people that feel the same way. And I just stumbled across your podcast. And it's funny because I'm a pastor's kid and Haley Williams is a pastor's kid. And then
yes,
she grew up in the same town in Tennessee that I was in. So it was just like a lot of weird
synchronicities.
Yeah.
Oh, that is very funny. I really like the idea of that script. Because where is the humanity in Black men often portrayed in mainstream media? It's like, there is a lot of middle ground. Niggas really do be toxic.
Yeah.
As well as soft and marshmallows. First-hand experience with that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm working on an aspect of my comedy set where I'm like, you know, I was like in eighth grade, I was like an R&B emo prince. Like I was definitely emo for sure.
Not an R&B emo prince, please.
I was definitely. I mean, even like the music that we're going to talk about, that's where I live. You know, I live in that R&B emo space, but it's like at the same time, if you want to get it, I can throw hands at the same time. Like this
Ooh, isn't period. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Period.
That's my problem. It's just like, they just paint Black dudes out in the worst possible way. And then it's like, we get one representation and we're supposed to clap and be like, that's us. And it's like, not at all.
And you said you're going to fix that. You're like, you know what? Let me go ahead and write my pilot and we're going to see.
I mean, I'm not saying I can fix it, but I hope that, you know, whoever has the mic, like if you're specific and authentic enough, I feel like it'll, you know, I saw somewhere where Denzel was like, the universal stems from the specific. So it's like, if you're specific enough and you're not trying to people please people, then, you know, you will have a wide net of people you connect to. And I just feel like some of the people that do get the mic are dancing for executives. I know some of these executives and I love you guys, but just know, you know, just from the shameless promotion, just know I'm real.
I love the carefulness with the phrasing there. It was real specific. Had to move real carefully. Yeah, no, but I fully agree. And I'm sure the pilot is great. What's the name of the web series? If you can tell us.
Yeah, it's a web series. It's called Wallace and Tex. I'm really happy for it. I shot it in a day for $5,000, and Liz Merriweather, who created New Girl and was a big inspiration on me wanting to write, gave me half the budget for it. And it uses like a completely original soundtrack on Spotify. That's like, you know, again, this emo mumble rap vibe, and it works with animation and it does a lot of cool things. So if you're into Adult Swim, then you'll definitely F with it pretty hard. And I'm in it. So you should definitely watch it.
Hey, can't get better than that. And they can find it. Where can they find it?
You can find it on YouTube. If you just put Wallace and then the plus sign text, T-E-X, then it should pop right up.
Okay, fantastic. I'm definitely going to look at it. I'm very excited. And I'm very excited to know what your music taste is now that you've hinted at it a little bit. I'm excited to hear about the soundtrack, like the emo mumble rap soundtrack. All of it has piqued my interest a lot. So let's get into In My Defense so that we can move into the music segment after that, because I'm excited to hear about the music segment. So let's intro that. Before we get into talking about Tony Hawk, we have In My Defense. In My Defense is a segment where we bring one of our controversial or unpopular opinions and we defend it for you all. I have one, Jet. Do you have one?
I have one, but it's definitely pretty controversial. So
I can't wait. Oh, I love controversy. That is my favorite. What is it?
Oh, I have to say it now. I have to go first.
Yeah. You want me to go first? I can go first, but you can also go first.
I debated because I do listen to this podcast, but I hadn't thought about what I was going to do, which is better that way. Cause then you just go off of the, you shoot from the hip. So I think my defense is that despite a lack of morality and despite controversy, I do think Elvis was talented, and that's not just because this movie is coming on. Like, I this is how I feel, and I get in arguments with my sisters about it. I get in arguments with a lot of people about it, but I'm gonna slow down and let you attack me, and then
you know what? I feel like there's nothing to argue about. Like, I'm like, yeah. I mean, he just was. Like, I don't know. Nobody said he wasn't a piece of shit or that he wasn't racist or that he wasn't stealing from Black people. Said the talent was there nonetheless. You know what I mean?
I mean, a lot of people that I know that are like, Elvis wasn't talented at all. Like, even, like, I know people that grew up in the era and they were like, you know, most Black people liked Elvis, but I didn't because I always felt like he wasn't talented. But for me, like, what I tell people is like, look, like, I don't expect Elvis to be a hero, right? Like, heroes would have not stolen from Black people. Like, a hero would have been like, I'm taking a stand. I said he was a rock star. So everybody was kind of that Black people at that time. And what I'm saying is, like, if you look at sports, everybody does steroids, but not everybody's Barry Bonds. So I'm saying, like, if everybody's stealing from Black people, somebody did it and was like, you know, I hate to put it that way, but.
I mean, no, that sounds accurate to me. It's not much you could argue with when it comes to talent. Either you have it or you don't. And you know something that niggas love to do? And I say niggas meaning everybody on the planet.
Yeah.
Niggas love to, once someone has fallen out of public grace, niggas love to be like, I never liked him. I don't know why y'all liked him in the first place. Like, I was never on that. Y'all was tripping. But you wasn't saying none of that when they was in the public grace. So what are we talking about? Keep it. I don't want it.
I'm the opposite, though. Like, when everybody loves somebody, I'll be, like, throwing rocks. And then it's like, once they get canceled or something happens to them, I'm like, you know what? I just started listening to that stuff. And, you know,
Me too. Actually, it's a problem. Okay, so we're problematic together, and that's totally fine. That's absolutely fine because I'm that way as well. I'm like, why do y'all like this person? It's not that good. And then later on, I'm like, all right, it was fine. Once y'all stopped liking them,
yeah.
I'm like, oh no, it was fine.
Like, I'm just coming around to Kid Cudi.
Not you just coming around to Kid Cudi.
I mean, I'm not saying I didn't listen to some of the stuff before, but like before I was like, I was hating. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, yo, this little emo Black kid. Like, I was straight hating on Kid Cudi for years.
How?
I think low-key I was jealous of Kid Cudi on the low.
Like, that's fair. That's totally fair. He was living out like the Black boy dream for sure.
Yeah, I mean, because he didn't even try to be cool. Like, Drake was like, I'm gonna be emo, but I'm gonna be really cool. And Kid Cudi was not trying to do any of that.
Yeah.
There was a part of me that just was throwing rocks. It was like, well, I don't think it's fair that you get to do this.
Right. So. tomato. No, I feel yeah. Okay. So my defense this week. I feel like this is not controversial. You actually make stuff for the screen, not the big screen, but the small screen. You're making television, right, Jet?
I mean, yeah, that's the goal, right?
Okay. Okay, so that's about movies. So it's not gonna touch you then.
What's up?
I feel that movies should be no longer than an hour and a half max. Kids movie is the perfect length of a movie, like an hour and 20. You can give me an hour and 15. Realistically, you could keep it to an hour and I'd be happy. I feel like movies have gotten bloated and they just be doing so much. The last movie I saw that I did not look at my phone when I was in the theater was Top Gun. And that's because it was so fucking action packed and like, go, go, go. But that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, I'm pretty opinionated about that. I'm not even gonna
lie. What you think? Like, please go for it. Please.
The last time I watched a movie that I didn't look at my phone was probably The Batman.
Oh, that was a long time ago. And that movie is long as hell.
That movie is 3 hours long. But it's like 3 hours long of all the best emo stuff I could possibly. Like, Batman's out here wearing eyeliner and junk. Like, he's not leaving the house.
Oh, you mean
like,
the more recent one with Robert Pattinson?
That's, yeah, that is three. It's a 3 hour long. It still came out a while ago. That's
right, the last time. Okay.
I don't know. 90, I feel like 90 minutes should be, that should be a rule unless you're the GOAT. If Donald Glover came out with a 3 hour movie, I would watch it. But I'm just saying,
I'll likely also watch it. That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, and DiCaprio movies are long. I love DiCaprio. All his movies are at least two and a half hours long.
You know what? And I do like Wolf of Wall Street. Please don't quote me on that, y'all. But I do like Wolf of Wall Street. That's a good one.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I see where you're coming from. I just feel like, you know, you should have to earn the right to make a movie that's longer than 90 minutes.
That's a good way to put it, because like, what do you have to say past an hour and a half when I don't know who you are? You know, like, you ain't earned it. Like, I don't, what am I watching? Why am I watching it?
Well, that's why I want to do TV, because it's like, I had an idea and I was like, I told my friends, I was like, yo, this is about to be a 2.5 hour movie. And my friends were like, no, absolutely not.
You have good friends.
I was like, okay, I'll just make it a show then. That's fine.
Wow, you have great friends that actually give constructive critiques that like help you along in your career to make something good. Oh my gosh, I love that for you.
You have to, man, or else you're gonna be. Have you seen that that Black AF episode, that Kenya Barris show, Black AF?
Yes.
The one where they were like, black people have to police each other, but that's real though. I mean, my friend's not black, but I mean, like, that gave me this advice. But it's like, just as a principle, like, if your friends aren't within my friend group, I don't want to always be the person with the best taste. I always specifically try to choose friends that have better taste than me, because otherwise you're not going to grow. You're going to be trash. You know what I'm saying?
That's really true. And that's real self-aware too, because people be struggling to realize that you don't always have the best taste in your friend group. And that's okay. You know, you'll grow as a person. They'll better you. My friends grew my taste so much. My current friend group, I'm not even gonna say the type of shit I used to be watching before my current
I need
group,
to know. You already teased it, so we gotta know. You watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Y'all are not going to drag me around the internet, okay?
What were you watching? Buffy, what else was a Party of Five?
You know, you know what show I used to watch? Damn, I'm about to say this on my podcast. I used to watch this show that used to come on Fox. I think it came on Fox, called Star. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I mean, I don't hate on that, because whatever. I guess I'm not really supposed to talk about TV because I'm entering into it. But it's like, to me, those are great soap operas. Like, we don't have soap operas anymore. So it's like the Empires, the Stars, like, that's where we're getting all of our soap opera life.
It's the genre, right? It's the soap opera genre.
Yeah, I don't hate on those shows. Now, the shows I be hating on, I'm going to choose something that's canceled. I'm going to try to not choose something.
Ooh, go, but
like,
go.
I don't know. The shows I be hating on is when, like, it's not even.
It's not worth it. Okay, no, you don't even have to. But if you want to, go for it.
It ain't worth it. But I will put it like this. Like, when Empire came out, I was, like, so excited, because, like, my issue with TV is that TV is supposed to be a medium that's supposed to be very current. Like, it's supposed to be a lot more current than movies. It doesn't take as long. It's supposed to be, you know, stuff happens and you know, a few weeks later, they can work that into the episode. But like, black stuff is always left behind. Like, we should have been had a mumble rap show by now. And so it's just like, when I saw Empire, it was so cool, because it was the first time, before we started getting Atlantis, we started getting all these other shows, like, it was like the first time that conversations I was having with my family or conversations I was having with my friend group, like, was popping up on TV, you know, a lot closer to when we were having those conversations. It wasn't like 2 years later and it was like, oh yeah, like, you know.
I never even thought about that. That's actually a really good point. And that makes me feel better in my poor taste of television prior to, you know, the last like 5 years or so. But speaking of taste, I'm excited to get to your music taste. So let's transition to song of the week. Did you bring a song that you want to talk about this week?
You know, I was thinking long and hard, but at the end of the day, when I saw the text and you asked about it, I'm just going to go with the songs that came to mind. So I've been listening to Lime by Yeeks. I don't know if you listen to Yeeks.
I don't know about that. What's that?
I think he's from the Bay, but he's like this Asian dude, but he has like this really cool R&B kind of vibe. And I don't know, his stuff is just like, all his stuff sounds like he's creeping down the block to see a chick, which is kind of the I'm not saying I do that, I'm just saying that's the vibe that I appreciate.
Jessa, that's relatable. Okay, that's why you fuck with Yeeks. Yeeks like cheeks, like his name is Yeeks.
Y-E-E-K-Z.
like cheeks. Nah, that's definitely a sexual innuendo.
Wait, hold up. But maybe it may just be yeek. I could be getting this wrong, but I'm pretty okay. Sure. No, it's yeek. Y-E-E-K.
Okay. Either way.
I mean, I almost, their runner ups were like, I've been listening to a lot of Pink Panthers. So almost brought her up. And then the final runner up was, the song Alien by Freak Slug. That was the runner up.
Okay, so you about to expand my music taste, because I'm gonna have to listen to all of those later on after this.
I mean, Freak Slug is like, I don't know, Freak Slug to me is like white girl pop, but not that way, but not like that.
Ooh, I like white girl pop. Hold on, that's something that resonates with me. Now I'm definitely gonna listen to Freak Slug, because my song is a white girl pop song for this week. I chose. Do you listen to Dua Lipa?
I don't.
Okay.
That's I thought about lying.
No, I've never listened to Dua Lipa. Okay. Dua Lipa came up with an album at the beginning of 2020, I think, or maybe. Yeah, I think it might have been early 2020, maybe late 2019, called Future Nostalgia. It is truly like my favorite fucking pop album since. What was the name of that Ariana Grande album?
Oh, you talking about the one that came out around the pandemic?
No, that's Positions. There was one that was before that. Why can't I think of the name of the song? I know it's freaking me out. Anyways, the one that came out before Positions, before Thank You Next, that one too, before Thank You Next too. Future Nostalgia is like the best pop album since then. And the song Hallucinate in particular is so fucking good. Something about Hallucinate, it should have been a single. Y'all need to stop playing with Dua Lipa. I know she can't dance. I know she do that little weird hip wiggle thing. I saw her live recently. She was fantastic. She made fun of herself with the hip wiggle shit. Yeah. Put some respect on Dua Lipa's name, y'all. Stop playing with her.
I did not expect you to like Dua Lipa. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah. That's my girl. Dua Lipa's my girl. Absolutely.
I'm going to be real. I couldn't tell. When she first came out, I couldn't tell the difference between her and anybody else that was out that year.
You know what? I understand what you mean. Dua Lipa, appearance-wise, first of all, I think she's really attractive. But appearance-wise, she's like, especially when she first came out, she's like a white girl with brown hair. And it's like every other white girl. But her music has always been a little different. Like, something about it had a little flair in there.
A little tahini on it.
And I noticed her.
Says like she had sprinkled a little tahini on her music. But.
She put a little tahini on there on the rim. And I like that. I like that for myself. And so, yeah, I always fuck with Dua Lipa. That's my girl. I won't have any Dua Lipa slander around here. She's supposed to be dropping an album. I think she's pushing it because Beyonce is dropping an album, which, you know, the whole world is absolutely pushing because Beyonce is dropping an album. Oh, my God. Did you listen to Drake's album?
I did.
Did you like it?
I feel like it's not for me. I feel like
it's not for me either.
It's for no, but I feel like it's for women that go to H&M and Zara and like want to hear. You know what I'm saying?
Man, like, I am a woman that does those, and it's not for me.
I mean, I heard it in defense when it first came out. I hated it, but then somebody played it. They were playing it on my street, and it sounded different, like in that, like on speakers in that environment. But it's definitely not. I still stand by my statement when it first came out, which is it's not 808s and Heartbreak. Like people were talking about this album like it's going to be Drake's 808s and Heartbreak, and it's not. It's not the album that takes it in a new direction and like defines him. It's like something he did for fun.
Y'all about to send me on a rant. Niggas talking about it's the 808s and Heartbreaks. Y'all really about to send me on a rant. As a recovering Kanye stan, don't piss me off. Talking about this is his 808s and Heartbreak. 808s and Heartbreak single-handedly shifted the trajectory of not only Kanye West music, but music, rap music as a whole. Music as a whole. Pop music of the time as a whole. And y'all think Drake, y'all think Aubrey is shifting the trajectory of music with this fucking cheaply produced... No. House... No. And then somebody else said he made a whole album of Passion Fruit, also a goddamn lie. And I'm tired of y'all lying. I'm tired of y'all getting on here and lying. Stop doing that shit because I'm over it, okay? Stop playing with Drake. Stop playing with Kanye. Stop playing with the music, okay? Stop it. You can play with Kanye all you want, but don't play with his music. Anyways, moving on. Before I get myself in trouble on this fucking podcast, we're going to talk about Tony Hawk this episode. I would like to preface this by saying I am not a skateboard girl. I am not a Tony Hawk girl, but I am very aware that niggas love Tony Hawk. I don't know why. I did my Googles. I do know why, kind of. I did my Googles, and I see the vision for the man's. But let me tell y'all a little bit about Tony Hawk before we talk about why Black people love him. So, according to trusty old Wikipedia, Anthony Frank Hawk, nicknamed Birdman, is that where Birdman got it from? Is the American professional skateboarder, entrepreneur, and owner of skateboard company Birdhouse. A pioneer of modern vertical skateboarding. I don't know what vertical skateboarding means. Hawk completed the first 900 skateboarding trick in 1999. He also licensed a skateboarding video game series named after himself, published by Activision that same year. He retired from competing professionally in 2003 and is regarded as one of the most influential skateboarders of all time. Jet, do you fuck with Tony Hawk?
Hi, I'm Kate Casey, an unscripted TV expert. Three times a week, I interview the talent, directors, producers, and hosts of television's most popular reality shows, docuseries, and documentaries. I get all the behind-the-scenes stories. I cover everything from The Bachelor, Selling Sunset, and Real Housewives to Tinder Swindler, The Last Dance, and Secrets of Playboy. Join me as I ask all the questions that you want asked. And best of all, I'm the most trusted source on what to watch every week. I will give you a guide on everything from true crime and sports to competition, calling from all streaming and cable networks. The best guests, the best shows and series, Reality Life with Kate Casey.
Most definitely. But first, I'm going to like really paint the picture for everybody. Like, I'm going to give you a profile and then I want you to guess the race of this profile. You got a professional athlete. He's got three baby mamas. He's got custom cars.
Hold on. I'm sorry. He has what?
So he got three baby mamas.
He has three baby. I watched this man's documentary and it didn't mention none of that. Why y'all leaving out?
So I'm saying
that he got three baby mamas.
I'm saying if you didn't, I'm saying like somebody like you, I play this trick all the time. If you were to read Tony Hawk's stats from a nigga's perspective, you would think he was black. That's what I'm trying to.
Please continue. I'm shook right now.
Because that's my whole point is that this is like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but this is the whole Hollywood game. Like if you read Kanye's stats, you would think he was white. His mom's a college professor. His dad's a photographer. His mom, you know, he trained, blah, 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 blah. He won all these art school contests. You would think he was like a little poet white boy, but he's not.
Yeah.
And it's the same with Tony Hawk. Niggas mess with Tony Hawk because on paper, this dude sounds like a nigga. He was constantly getting in trouble at school. He was, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is just, you know, it's just facts. Like, but the culture, I mean, honestly, if you think about it, he sounds like a jazz musician from the 1930s. But this is like Tony Hawk. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't even sound.
It does. Tony Big Tone? Yeah. Yes, he does. Absolutely. Okay, so he got three baby mamas. And what was that other thing that you said? What was the last stat?
I mean, I don't even fully remember. But the point of the matter is is that Tony Hawk is a light-skinned black man. So is John B. No, I'm just playing. I don't want to get stabbed. I'm just joking. Somebody's going to get stabbed.
Well, I mean, I see the vision. I understand where you're going. Okay.
I didn't really know who Tony Hawk was until the video games when I was a kid. And it was just like, it was like right next to NFL Street. Like you played NFL Street and then you were playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater. And like Tony Hawk Pro Skater to me, like somehow was more fun. I think it was just like, I don't even know exactly what about that game. I just remember playing it in Blink 182. I would make sure that it would play the Blink 182 song over and over again while I was playing.
I never bring that up.
Yeah.
He put black people on to Blink 182 and Green Day. Like how black people found out about Blink 182 and Green Day.
Well, I wasn't allowed to listen to secular music. So playing video games was how I got a chance to listen to secular music. So it was like Tony Hawk was doing me a service. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was like prohibition, but with music, you know?
Wow. You was in the, what were those things called? You was in the speakeasy with the video game. Right, he was in the virtual speakeasy with the video game popping, listening to Green Day and Blink 182, and I love that for you. I'm glad that you got to be able to experience that. You know something else? Do you remember the Tony Hawk edition of the Sidekick LX?
Briefly, yeah.
Hi. This is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class, tomorrow's exam will cover the science of perfect pitch, the history of pride flags, and speedrunning video games. Any questions? Ah, yes, you in the back.
What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else.
My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
Yeah, Tony Hawk, the fact that he had a fucking sidekick edition is all you really need to know, because Black people loved sidekicks.
No, it's a real, it was like, I really need to make jokes about it, because Black dudes thought the sidekick was so tough.
Absolutely.
You remember those commercials where they would like have the brisk iced teas and they would flip out the sidekicks? Like,
yes.
Like, sidekicks were a real phenomenon, man.
They really were.
People probably had sidekicks more than they had, like, that's not even funny. I shouldn't even say that. But I feel like niggas would buy a sidekick before they would buy like birth control or a condom. Like, it was that important. It was like that important to have that sidekick and to have that. People
you
not
can't flex
rent.
No condom now. You can flex a sidekick. You can't flex your condom.
But it's just like, there's like necessities. I would watch dudes and there was like necessities that need to be taken care of, and they would have a sidekick. They'd be like, yep. Listen, man, you got to pray for me. I ain't got no money. And then it's like they texting on a new sidekick. Like,
yep, they flipping it out too. That flip noise was crucial at that time. You flip your sidekick out. That was very necessary. Important things.
I think Black people, we like to perform while we flex. Like,
we do.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not enough just to flex. There has to be like a performance aspect of it in order for us to feel fulfilled. So it's like that, you know, it's like, it's not fun to just like, oh, flick open your razor. Like, you want to like flick the whole sidekick out and like, you know, act like it's not a big deal. Like, flick it out.
Nah, 100%. Now, I will say it was fun to flip open that razor. It was also fun. I never had one. I was bitter about it. I'm still bitter about it. But it was fun to flip open a razor. I also never had a sidekick, but also seemed fun to flip that open. Just all the flips. Love that.
Yeah.
The performance value for sure.
It was a crucial part of my childhood for those sidekicks.
It was absolutely a crucial part of the childhood. Okay, so there's this joke on Black Twitter about Tony Hawk. It's just a running thing that Black people love Tony Hawk. I've seen it on Twitter, like I've seen it go viral. And so there's this meme of Wesley Snipes holding a gun and with tears streaming down his face. Like, he really don't want to do what he about to do. Right? He got this black hat cocked to the side. I'm gonna send you the meme. And the caption for this says, "When the race war is happening and I gotta kill Tony Hawk. Like, you're so sad that you have to kill Tony Hawk, but like, damn, it's the race war, now you gotta kill him." And Tony Hawk responds and he says, "I appreciate the hesitation though." And that's how you know Tony Hawk is like,
no, this is funny.
It's funny. Yeah, you're looking at it. He's here. He's with us. He's here with us. Okay. He understands we might have to take you out, but we don't want to because we fuck with you.
Tony Hawk reps for all the outsiders, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think anytime you get somebody that like really pierces through like the veil or like really cracks the glass ceiling and they're not a dork, you know what I'm saying? Like, some people crack,
yes.
And it's like, you know, I'm not going to name names, but they just be like a square, a robot, or a dork. And this dude wasn't, you know what I'm saying?
A square, a robot, or a dork.
those are the three groups of people that I don't mess with. It's just like,
that's really good. You don't fuck with squares, robots, and dorks. I like that. Okay.
I'll put it like this. If there was a race war happening, I feel like people would have an easier time killing Moby before they killed Tony Hawk. You know what I'm saying?
Killing who?
Never mind.
Who is that, right?
Moby?
Yeah, no.
Moby?
I don't know.
Dang. I thought more black people knew who Moby was because on Atlanta, there was like an episode where Darius was like, yes, yeah, it's hard for white dudes to go bald. He's like, black dudes can do it gracefully, but white dudes can't. He's like, your best bet is to try to look like Moby. And Moby is like a white musician and he's like bald.
Oh, let me. Oh, I see him. I've literally never laid eyes on this man a day in my life, but, you know. Different yeah. reference points for I see a lot of be making reference points. I'm like, I don't know what y'all talking about sometimes. But I mean other people know what they're talking about, so I guess that is what it is. Speaking of the video game.
What about the video game?
Okay, the video game, somebody on Twitter named Erica Washington said that the reason she loves Tony Hawk is because her and her brother used to play the video game while growing up all the time, and she could create a black woman character. And that is her reason, because that was not a thing at the time with other types of games and other video games.
Yeah, no, it's funny. So I remember you could customize it down to that. And that was a big thing. Like on a lot of those games, like there was a game I think called Fighting Force, and the darkest you could go was like J-Lo. That was like the darkest you could go on a lot of these games.
J-Lo, light skin, yeah. Latina.
Yeah, so, you know, that was as far as you could go. And Tony Hawk's games, like, I've thought about this in the past. Like, that era was, like, a weird era where it was, like, they were trying, like, it felt like almost like race is not as much of a thing. Like, you know, Nelly can be with NSYNC and,
for
you know,
sure.
We can make one of the Charlie's Angels Asian. Like, you know, I mean, it just felt like.
For sure. They're trying to ignore it. They're like, oh, yeah. We'll just, you know, it doesn't really matter the race of the person. It'll be good. And you know what? Honestly, that did feel like a better time in media anyways. I don't know if it was just like because it was the dawn of social media where we could all know all the shit of the world all the time. But that did feel like a better, more whole time. For me as a black woman or a black girl at that time, and just for media as a whole, regarding race relations and other stuff.
Using the game as an example, like there wasn't any argument about whether they should do it or not. Like if he were to do that now, there would be this big argument about, is it the right person? Like, who does he have on his team? How dark is too dark? How light is too light? Is this? It would just be like, it would probably make him scared to even do it because it's like.
Right. He'd be like, just have everybody play as Tony. Like, that's yeah. probably what he'd be like. Everybody just gonna play as Tony. Thank you. Not even worth y'all niggas talking about it on Twitter. There's also a bunch of song lyrics that. You know, rap lyrics specifically that talk about Tony Hawk. Chief Keef has a song called Tony Hawk, which I did not know. Juice WRLD had three separate songs where he mentioned Tony Hawk, which just goes to show how intergenerational Tony Hawk really is, because Juice WRLD was a fucking child, like RIP, by the way, but like literally a child, and had three separate rap songs talking about Tony Hawk in three separate ways.
I mean, I'm just going to say it's controversial, but I'm telling y'all, Tony Hawk is more influential than Big Bird at this point. My little sister don't know
that.
Who Big Bird is.
I believe that.
She don't know who Big Bird is from Sesame Street. She knows who Tony Hawk is, though.
And that's so right. My mom knows who Tony Hawk is. My mom don't know who no white people are. It's like, my mom be like, I'd be like, Mom, you know Leonardo DiCaprio? She'd be like, who? But I said, Mom, do you know who Tony Hawk is? She was like, yeah. And I was like, who is he? She was like, I think he does BMX or X Games or something. I was like, close enough. She know who I'm talking about.
Dang.
Yeah, that's him. So yes, he's very intergenerational. And in one of his songs, Juice WRLD says, in Fire in the Booth, he says, I'm Tony Hawk and I feel like a Ollie, but I'm on a beat like a damn kamikaze. I'm a rock star, Black Sabbath, no Ozzy. Wow, actually Juice WRLD had a lot of references in there that's not of his generation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Juice is an old soul, but I mean, I still think your point stands, though. Like, Tony Hawk, I could go to a 10-year-old right now and be like, do you know who Tony Hawk is? And I'm like, yeah, it's the skateboarder guy. Like,
I think so, too. I think I'm going to ask my niece. I bet you she's not going to know who that is. She is 10, and she's a girl, a black girl. I don't know if she's going to know. I'm going to ask her. I'm going to see if she knows who Tony Hawk is, because he really does seem like the intergenerational superhero that all of us like. And, I think he also more so popularized tech decks. I don't know if you ever used them, but you remember tech decks? Like the little skateboard with your fingers that every elementary school, middle school, high schooler had at some point?
Yeah. I mean, Tony Hawk was so influential. Tony Hawk could have niggas doing stuff that they normally wouldn't do. Like I almost tried pizza rolls because of Tony Hawk. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you almost tried pizza rolls. Hold on. Are you saying?
I'm saying.
Are you saying, Jet, that you haven't tried pizza rolls?
I haven't had a pizza roll.
You've never had a pizza roll? Wait, nah. Why?
Nah. But I'm saying Tony Hawk was like literally like the salesman. Like, I remember he just was everywhere. Like,
he was.
Was he in that movie, Most Valuable Primate? Do you remember that movie with the monkey that was skateboarding?
I don't. What?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he cameoed in that. He was cameoing in everything at the time. But
he had
like,
to be in it, yeah. If it was about skateboarding around that time, he was certainly in it.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine, like, 20 years from now, like, there's going to be Tony Hawk memes or people are going to be like, there was this guy a long time ago who was just like...
Right. This was this man. Yeah. Wow, no, he really was influential. I feel like every Black man that I know... personally also went through a skateboarding phase. Like, every Black man I know knows how to ride a skateboard at a baseline, can like kick off. I don't know if that's from Lupe Fiasco. That might be a kick push moment, you know, that might be a Lupe Fiasco moment, but every Black man that I know could hop on a skateboard and not fall off, whereas my ass is definitely gonna fall off.
One of my friends is like 45 and he is street dude and he's like real tough, he's like real hard and whatever, and I watched him hop on a skateboard and kick off, and it was the weirdest thing. It was the strangest. It was like, you have a strap and a skateboard? Like, it was not just like, I was like,
a strap and a skateboard.
I was like, what?
You strapped up on a skateboard? Yeah, I gotta stay with this strap on me. I like that.
It's so, yeah, I mean, I think the whole thing is like skateboards are inexpensive. So it's like Tony Hawk is sort of like a sign of the working class, I guess. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
wow. Comrade Tony Hawk,
you know?
That's crazy. Wow, now he's an advocate for socialism and all types of shit. Look at what my man's did. Yeah. Right. Look at what Tony has done.
My grandparents are gonna be so mad that I even said the S word.
Socialism?
Yeah.
I was saying, no, you know what? Older people really are terrified of the word socialism. I said that shit to my mom recently, who was literally reciting a socialist talking point to me. And I was like, oh, yeah, socialism, you know, I think we're moving that direction anyway. She was like, who said anything about socialism? I said, you did, sweetheart. I don't know what to tell you. Like, you're a socialist. I love that for you, but you got to come to terms with the word. I know America made you scared of it, but it is what it is. But anyways, back to Tony Hawk. Yeah, I think Black people like Tony Hawk because it's very simple. He's legit talented, which Black people is important to Black people. I think that's why Black people also like Paramore. We've talked about this before, but
right. It's
because Hayley Williams is actually very fucking talented. He's actually talented. He's unproblematic and he stays in his white ass business. And that's really all it takes.
My name is Tom Buck, and this is The Enthusiasm Project. Join me each week for deep dives exploring the world of what it means to be an independent creator on YouTube, starting your own creative business, and keeping a positive, enthusiastic mindset along the way. New episodes of The Enthusiasm Project are available every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I mean, I'm just reinforcing what you're saying. Black people just don't, I feel like in general, we have an extreme emphasis on being real. So like, even whether it's real talent, whether it's speaking on stuff that you actually are about, like you didn't see Tony Hawk run around like with some fake Black Lives Matter junk. You know what I'm saying? Like he just doesn't do things that where you go, really you? Like you never hear him with anything like that.
Really you?
Some people, it's like, they just get up all of a sudden and they're like, oh, there's this cause I got to jump on really quick. And it's like, yo, Black people can't handle that. It's vexing to the soul.
It's vexing. Wow. Come on, vocabulary. Love to see it.
Do you remember when they tried to make Sean White like Tony? I was not going to bring up Sean White, but whatever. Do you remember when they tried to make him the next Tony Hawk?
I sure do. That's the flying tomato, right? That's the redheaded boy?
Yeah, it did not work out.
No, I sure do. Nobody ever cared. Like, I'm like, girl, we don't care about him.
They tried.
We don't want him. Stop trying to make Sean White a thing. He's not a thing. We have Tony and we're good. Remember when they're trying to make Ryan Sheckler a thing? Do you remember that?
I remember the Ryan Sheckler moment. That was weird. That was a weird era because they pushed so hard. They gave him a reality show. And he's nowhere close to Tony Hawk. I mean, he's nowhere close. Yeah.
It was on MTV.
Yeah. I used to watch it. It was a good show, actually. But but it had nothing to do with his like skating ability.
Skateboarding. It was like his personal life, his dating life. And it gave very like Laguna Beach in the Hills, like just like very white kid from the OC type vibes. And that's very much not what Tony Hawk was giving. And I'm like, see, y'all don't even understand the appeal of Tony. Y'all trying to make Tony happen again. And you're giving us this very bland, very white Orange County man. And we don't want him. We want was struggling at school, had ADHD, needed an outlet for his life. Tony Hawk. We don't want Ryan Sheckler.
Yeah, I mean, well, it just goes to the whole thing of, like, the people that are making the decisions. Like, they don't understand, like, the intersection of the streets. Like, they don't, like, I don't know. There's a show called Vinyl, and they talk about how, like, rock and funk and, like, all these different genres of music were, like, one street over from each other, right? Like, they were all the same. And most execs are like, no, like, you know, that this person will never like this music and this person. And it's just like, and they start really like bastardizing the whole thing. And that was that's what happened with skateboarding in my mind. Like Tony Hawk to me sold this idea that like he was the Michael Jordan of skateboarding because he was like talented, worked super hard. And he was like this underdog story. And I liked Ryan Sheckler, but Ryan Sheckler was a soap opera. Ryan Sheckler was the Hills. And it was like, he's handsome. He's with all these different girls and stuff. And it just wasn't the same vibe. I never was inspired by Ryan Sheckler. I was never like, and I like the show. I think he seems like a nice guy, but Tony Hawk was larger than life, man.
He was like unrelenting. I don't know if you watched his most recent documentary where he was trying to do like that last 900. I think it was on Hulu. He was trying to do a 900 spin, I guess, for the final time. And damn, the doc was actually really emotional. It just filled with him trying and failing to do that turn a bunch of time. But apparently that's how he was as a kid too, just like unrelenting about skateboarding. He was like, no, I'm going to do this thing. I don't care what my parents is talking about. I don't care who is laughing at me. And he was like, he was the underdog. Like, people hated him. People did not fuck with him at all. And he came through and he was like, don't care. I'm here for skateboarding. I'm not here for you niggas. I don't care how y'all feel about it. I don't care if y'all mad because I do this. I'm going to do it. And I do it better than y'all. And he did. He was up against like grown men who had been like the top ranked skateboarders for a long time. And he was a kid, came through, did his little 900, got them the fuck out of here. And now he's the most influential skateboarder ever. And that's like the only name who we know in skateboarding for real.
But that was like our generation had a lot of those like stories, which I thought was super cool. Like, you had Serena Venus, you had Tiger Woods. Like, that was like the dominant message of like our generation was like,
that
oh,
is
like
so true.
It's like, I don't really know what these young kids like. I don't really know what they I do know what they mess up with, but it's, I don't know. It's just different. Yeah. Tony Hawk was definitely like a part of that whole movement.
For sure. The only skateboard I can name from today is Nyjah, and the only reason I know who that is because he is a black man. But otherwise, I don't. Do people, are there skateboard? Like, are there professional skateboarders? Is that a thing?
I mean, it's less about professionals, more about like, are you a YouTuber skateboarder? So, like, there are like groups of kids that like have millions of views and they'll go over and they'll try a spot in Japan or they'll try a spot in the San Francisco. And like, my back when I was teaching, my students put me on and they would like show me these videos. And they were super cool, but like the intent is completely different. Like, it's not like Tony Hawk is there like to be the best or Michael Jordan to be the best. And like the younger generation, it's not so much about being the best and it's more about like
monetizing. And
it's like about monetizing and it's about like growing outward. It's like, how many people are a part of my community as opposed to like, am I the best rapper? Am I the best skater? Am I the best, you know, performer? It's like, how many views do I have? Which is a completely different.
It's a different gauge of success for sure. Is Tony Hawk the original influencer? I feel like Tony Hawk might be the original influencer. Like, you were saying, you almost tried a pizza roll because of Tony Hawk.
Yeah. I mean, look, Tony Hawk had me doing the thing where you wear the long sleeve shirt and then the short sleeve shirt over it.
Yes.
There was nobody black in my neighborhood doing that. And then
Under Armour, like, niggas had on like Under Armour and then like. Yeah.
Niggas wasn't wearing layers before that.
The layers? Niggas were layering up.
They were.
Before Tony, okay? Wow, he was the original influencer. Don't yeah. know the original influencer. I think I figured it out. I think I cracked the code. That's crazy. And not even on purpose. He literally was just in everything. Like you said, he yeah. was like advertising everything, like just in everything.
But it fit though. That's the weird thing, is like it made sense. It was like,
it was a natural mesh. You know why? It was because he wasn't like influencers today. People who like go viral on the internet and that type of stuff and get a lot of money from doing that type of stuff today, they transition into like a rich person and then they're no longer relatable. Tony Hawk definitely was a rich person, but he never transitioned visibly into a rich person to us. And so he was always relatable. So it's like, yeah, of course Tony Hawk is eating pizza rolls. He's right. a skateboarder. And yeah, like, of course I'm going to eat pizza rolls because like, yeah, I fuck with him. Of course Tony Hawk is wearing Under Armour. He's a skateboarder, you know? Yeah. Whereas realistically, Tony Hawk had a shit ton of money. It could probably do, probably take private jets and do whatever the fuck else he wanted. But he was so still down to earth and so fucking regular that it was believable. It all just tracked. It's like, yeah, of course he's doing Gatorade. He's a skateboarder, you know?
Yeah, Tony Hawk never iced out. he never got iced out bling or nothing. Like,
my man didn't get no chains or nothing. He didn't believe in flex culture. He was really there to be the best, like you said.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny, but it's true, because I do remember it never really dawned on me as a kid that he was rich. I just was like, he's a skater. That was exactly what I thought. I was just like, he's a skater and this is what he does.
This is what he does. I think this podcast episode has made me like Tony Hawk so much more. And I already kind of liked him. I like didn't have any specific deep thoughts about him. I was like, oh, you know, like, cool white man. He skateboards. He was definitely part of my childhood. I remember him being there all the time, being mentioned. I think I really fuck with this man now. I'm gonna have to watch that documentary again. Also, if you haven't seen the doc, you should watch it.
I will. I'll check it out. I haven't seen it.
It's good. It speaks of his work ethic so much. Like, it speaks of his work ethic, his childhood trauma. He was like the youngest of like a bunch of kids, and he was way younger than the rest of the kids. So he was like kind of isolated and lonely as a kid too. It just like has a lot of stuff about him that humanizes him past, you know, oh, this super famous, ultra famous skateboard hero that's always been a part of my life.
Huh. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, black people, we mess with underdogs pretty heavy, so.
And he was an underdog heavy. He was small. He was just an underdog heavy. Tony, if you want to come on to my show, you are welcome to be the first white man, white period, to come on my show. I would love to have you. I believe that you would like to come on and that you like black people. And so come on if you would like. That'd be great.
What white people are invited onto the show? Top three.
Ooh, what white people are invited onto the show? None at all. But I would absolutely have Hayley Williams on this fucking show, because it's called Black People Love Paramore. So naturally, I would have Hayley Williams on the show. And I really think that might be it. I think just Hayley Williams could come on the show.
You wouldn't let Avril come on the show? Like,
nah. You know what? Okay, now I'm getting sidetracked. But just real quick, I watched this YouTube video. They did a deep dive about Hillary Duff. Hillary Duff and Avril Lavigne had beef. And like 2000, yeah. Did you know that?
Yeah, I was all up in this. I remember when Lindsay Lohan and Hillary had beef over Aaron Carter.
I can't believe you noticed. This is so funny. Yeah, she had beef with all of these people. She had she had beef with Nicole Richie. She had beef with Lindsay Lohan. She had beef with Avril Lavigne. And I'm team Hillary. And so I would never, and while I do fuck with Avril a lot, the music, you know, don't fuck with Hillary Duff. Just don't do it. Hillary Duff is another extremely unproblematic white woman who had just gone about her white ass business her whole fucking life.
I'm gonna get in trouble for this, but I saw some pictures of Hillary Duff recently. She
dragging the wagon on her too.
Yeah, I was like, wow. Gordo missed out. Major.
You know, Gordo, you fucked up.
He messed
Where
up.
Where are you at? Yeah, no, Hillary has remained unproblematic. She got a fat old ass, and she is just, you know, she's just pure. She seems like a nice lady. So Avril, no, she couldn't come on my show, but neither could Hillary. So there's that. I don't have anything else to say. Jet, do you have any final thoughts about Avril Lavigne or Tony Hawk or anything?
I just want to wrap this up by saying I don't hate anybody I talked about on this show. You know, I always run through my head, like, what did I say? Hopefully I didn't say anything too abrasive.
No, you didn't.
You know, Hillary, if you're single, get at me.
Wow. She's very not, Jet. Thank you. But And then there's me, who probably did say something abrasive, and I probably meant it. And if I did say I hated you, I also probably meant it. So that'll be it for this week's episode of Black People Love Paramore. Thank you for listening. Jack, can you let the people know where they can find you and just, you know, all the things?
Of course. First of all, thank you for having me on the show.
Of course.
I'm on Instagram. My Instagram is _JetG. And then my web series is called Wallace and Tex. It's Wallace, the plus sign, Tex. And if you're in the Austin area, I perform downtown all the time. So hit me up on Instagram and come through.
Go see Jet perform if you're in Austin, y'all. If you want to send me ideas for episodes, if you want to send me hate mail, if you want to send me love mail, you can email me at blackpeopleloveparamore@gmail.com. You can follow me on, or you can follow the podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and now we have a TikTok. There's nothing on the TikTok, but you can follow it nevertheless because there will be something on it eventually at BPLPpod. And that's it. I am Sequoia. This has been a fantastic episode. Thank you for coming on here, Jet. It's been great chatting with you, and I will see y'all next time. Bye.